That was 24 years and some months ago. Yeah. However, my tape, my old cassette tape, was so old. When my son tried to convert it to CD, it ate my tape. So this is a different arrangement. It's a different key. And so I'm just singing unto the Lord this morning, and hopefully it will bless you. So...
We stand here together as a family. We join hands together, lifting praises to the Father above for sending His Son. We've chosen together as a family to serve Him forever, knowing nothing else will matter in time. We've made up our mind. Through the heat of the day, we will join in the fight till He takes us away, till our faith becomes sight.
Thank you, Kimberly. Let that ring in your hearts this morning. It's a commitment. This is going to be a commitment message. Oh, my goodness. Hand this to Charlotte. Somebody's got a prayer request. I had it out of my pocket once and then had it in her purse. But we missed you last Sunday. We were headed to the chaplain's conference that we go to every year. And we had a Sunday night opening meeting, and we had to be away. But we heard that there was great things that happened. Praise the Lord. Thank you, David. Thank you, team. Thank you, Jason, for being here. But we had over 550, I believe, people gathered there, people from the military chaplaincy, from the hospital chaplaincy, motorcycles, horses, all sorts of things that were there. I wrote Jody one time, and I said, the guy got up and said, Hallelujah. He said, no, it's Hondaluja. And so, but we had those guys there. But everybody that was there had a specific desire of compassion to take the church to the world and see this world changed. And it's changing. We want it to change in a right direction, and we can do something about it. You know, I wanted to do something special for Charlotte. I think I missed the birthday and the Mother's Day as far as a gift. You know, I can't ever tell what to buy her. And so, but I he said, I'm not alone. But I came to the situation there of having, I thought, I've got something I can do. I'm going to rent a real good brand new car and take her up there in it. And so we found that. I surprised her. She didn't know it. I got someone to take me to get it. And I said, this is what we're going to the conference in. And, you know, it was a Chevy Cruze 2015. But I tell you, if you ever want to know what kind of car to buy, go rent one. Because I bumped my head so many times trying to get out of that car. It's little now. It really is. I'll take a van any day. But it did get us there and get us back. Thank the Lord. But on the way back, we had stopped once. It was getting real good gas mileage, but they have small tanks now, about 10 gallons, 12-gallon tanks, you know. And I looked down, and it was on solid empty. And I was on a turnpike. So talking about fervently praying, Lord, somehow increase this. I thought, if I can just get down here, and I'll pay my toll, and I'll get off and get gas. I paid the toll, and there was no way to get off. And so we take off, and I begin to say, now let me see, I've been down here before. Is there any stations along here? I don't think so. I've got a confession to make to the church this morning. The sign said, where is it? The sign said, no U-turns. I knew that I had a choice of disobeying, not that one, that one. I had a choice of disobeying and trying to get by with it. A lot of people have done that. And or just looking for a hill, looking backwards, see if anybody's coming. And I said, Charlotte, this is going to be fast. Vroom, like that. And I was the other way. Now, my message this morning is called No Turning Back. Well, I did turn back. And I made it to that little exit and got filled up with high-priced gasoline, and we made it home. But, you know, where this message came from is basically what everybody's talking about, praying about. You know, if I saw a Facebook post in 40 reasons why an evangelical Christian cannot be excited about what's happened this week. And I just want to say that this is a alert time. This is a time of preparation. We can't sweep things under the rug. It's a time for me and my house to serve the Lord. It's a time. You know, as I thought back of how I could prepare this message and how that I could introduce it to you, I thought about my seventh grade class in history, and it was called Texas History. Now, Kimberly, we had a girl from Ohio that would not at all participate in that. She just did not like Texas at all. But in Texas history, well, there was the Battle of the Alamo, and William B. Travis, the commander of the Alamo, sent forth couriers carrying pleas for help to communities in Texas. They just said, come and help us, you know, just men, you know, not trained men, just volunteers. And 32 volunteers from Gonzales arrived, bringing the number of defenders to nearly 200. Legend holds out that the possibility of additional help fading, that Colonel Travis drew a line on the ground and asked any man willing to stay and fight to step over the line. And all except one did. Wonder what ever happened to that one. I've even heard that there was one man on a cot sick, and he said, would you lift him across the line? You see, he made a statement that he was going to be part. These men made a statement that we are going to be part, that we're not going to back down, that we're not going to turn around, that there's no turning back. You see, it takes courage to do something like that. And folks, we're going to need courage as Christians. I believe it can be a fruit of the Spirit in our lives. What is courage? It's the ability to do something that you know is difficult or dangerous. I've said it's being aware of the danger, but going ahead anyway. It's mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. It's an ability to do something that frightens one, like she called on all her courage to face the ordeal. It's the strength in the face of pain or grief. He fought his illness with great courage, was a dictionary definition. To have the courage of one's convictions, listen, to have the courage of one's convictions to act in accordance within one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. Are you going to go for popularity? Or are you going to go to be an on fire Christian that won't turn back, that won't back down, that will go forward? I want to show you this video of the paratroopers. I'd heard about this. They say that there's a time that you hook up. And once you hook up on that cord, you're going out. There's no backing down. Once you hook up, you can't, I think he just was looking. I don't know. Would you do it? Anybody here ever done it? Don't do it. Jody wants to. I won't let it. You know, we as believers, we're going to have this same kind of army intelligence, army ways of doing things. We're going to have to be able to do it. We're going to have to be able to go forward. We're going to have to be able to stand firm. This is for the military. We thank the Lord for our military. Who's going to turn back? There's another similar situation happened in August of 1944. And it was called the Battle of Normandy, which lasted from June 1944 to August of 1944. It resulted in the Allied liberation of Western Europe. We call it D-Day. A liberation from Nazi Germany's control, codenamed Operation Overlord. The battle began on June 6, 1944, also known as D-Day, when some 156,000 American, British, and Canadian forces landed on five beaches along a 50-mile stretch of the highly fortified coast of France's Normandy region. The invasion was one of the largest amphibious military assaults in history and required extensive planning. Amphibious forces landed from the sea. Prior to D-Day, the Allies conducted a large-scale deception campaign designed to mislead the Germans about the intended invasion target. By late August 1944, all of northern France had been liberated, and by the following spring, the Allies had defeated the Germans. The Normandy landings have been called the beginning of the end of the war in Europe. You see, these men, as they were in that little boat type thing, I've seen it portrayed before, right there, where that once that thing goes down, well, there was men that were killed already. Just as soon as it went down, it was that quick. The thing that brought us victory in Europe was the fact that they didn't stop. They ran over dead bodies and kept going because there was no turning back. And it was an ability there that we had to have that force that was there. The men's faces, you see that one, they were committed. They had gone across the line, and they said, there is no turning back. We have this in Scripture as well, in a couple of instances here, that 2 Kings 24, 10 through 16. I'm going to be paraphrasing a lot of this morning. I've got 11 pages of notes, but don't get worried because I recognize the time. But I want to just paraphrase some of this because you know the story and of how that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem. The city was besieged, and he began to take out things. In verse 13, it says, he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord. He carried into captivity all of Jerusalem, all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. Now, I want to proclaim to you this morning that that's what is happening today, is the very gold that God has put in his temple. And, you know, this is a symbol of a temple, but we are the temple of God. That gold that he has put in within us, those values that he's put within us, the word of God that he's put within us, the enemy is trying to take out that gold and carry it off away. But we, as the Texans, we, as the paratroopers, we have got to stand firm and say, we will not let them take that away from us. We are going to uphold truth. We're going to uphold morality. You see, there's been a festival of immorality. And we are going to have to say, we're not going to let that happen in our lives. We are going to be the family of God, and we're going to hold on to these values that God, this gold that he's put within us. And the enemy's trying to take the gold out of the temple. We then turn to the book of Daniel, which is part of this same period of time, where that Daniel and his friends obey the Lord in spite of the difficulties that are there. And we recognize in chapter 1, it says, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. He brought the articles into the treasures house of his God. Now you will notice here in verse 3, the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language, the literature, I'll even add the culture of the Chaldeans. Isn't that the enemy's target today? We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our youth. We need to pray for our young adults sought out. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray that grandmas and grandpas will not give in, but will continue to lay out truth that their kids might follow them, their grandkids might follow them. Because the enemy is out, and he's taken the very best. It said the poorest of the land, they left them there. They said they didn't matter. They do matter, and we know that. And God loves the poor, and we they don't have to stay that way because they can come out of that culture. They can come forth and be, people that are paying their tithes and getting blessed by God and moving forward in life. And we can help them do that. But they said, oh, they don't care. You know, the prisoners, the poor, you know, just leave them there. I do believe, hear me out, this is prophetic. I do believe that their revival is going to come from the prisons and the jails, and it's going to spill over. It happened in the 70s at Ferguson Prison. that we, the inmates, they had no preachers, no, just one chaplain, all those guys, and they began to pray, and God began to raise up revival. And one of the men that got saved was Maury Davis. Today he is pastor of a church of 5,000 near Nashville. He has planted 7 more churches, and I used to minister to him at Ferguson Prison, part of that revival. You see, God can do that again. And he can come, I believe, that from the very worst that society thinks that they're not necessary, we're going to receive them. They're going to change. They're going to come in. They're going to be baptized. The backsliders are coming home. There is hope, folks. There is hope. We've got to be that people that can cross the line and say, we're going to do it. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the councils that he might not defile himself. God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with this. And so he said, I will not eat your food. I will not be part of that. And they said, but you've got to. And he requested that they would give them time, because they were praying and they were not defiling themselves. They had made a statement. They were not returning. They were not going back. And so these were the 4 young men, and God gave them knowledge and skill in all the literature and wisdom. Daniel had an understanding in all visions and dreams. And so in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, they shined forth as lights. And they were able to say, we will not. We will not do that. And so we recognize that in verse 18, at the end of the days when the king had said they should be brought in, he brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. He interviewed them. Among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, anyway, that's what I learned it as Abednego. And so they served before the king, and they had wisdom, they had understanding. The king examined them. And I do believe in all of this that God can place believers in key positions where that they can be in those situations, in the world and not of the world, but there can be people that can be there for that purpose that would be there. It happened in Jesus' day with Joseph of Arimathea was there, and Nicodemus and people of high authority, but they found the Lord and they stood their ground and they were there to be of help in the kingdom of God. Chapter 2, verse 12. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious. He gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. There's something I want to interject here, that God protects. He protects. Maybe there's times that it's with the just and the unjust. And when consequences come, it might affect. But there's many, many people. There's mothers that prayed their sons back from World War II and Korea and Vietnam. So they didn't all get killed. There were some that certainly were protected. And God protects. They sought Daniel and his companions to kill them, but they could not. And so we find that then this king has this dream. God uses dreams, and he comes and he says to his wise men, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and then interpret it. And they said, well, nobody can do that. Said, you tell us your dream and then we'll interpret it. He said, no, you tell me what I dreamed and then you interpret it. And he was very much going to do that. And he said, no, that's not possible. They said, well, there is one man in your kingdom named Daniel that he has interpreted dreams. And so we need to check with him. And so Daniel comes in and he interprets the dream. And then Daniel and his friends get promoted. In verse 48, it says, then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many gifts. He made him ruler of the whole province of Babylon. You see, there was favor there because of God's blessing upon this young man. the chief administrator of all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel petitioned the king. He set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Daniel sat at the gate of the king. So there was great favor that was given because these men stood up for what was right. So then we have the story of the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And he began to say, I want everyone to come down and worship this. And the people began to fall down and worship the image that he had set up. And said, whoever doesn't fall down and worship will be cast immediately to the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And all of a sudden, at that time, verse 7 says, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And I wrote, all except Daniel, all except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we will not. And so they came and they told him, there's men here in your kingdom that will not bow down. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered, said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Have you made up your mind? There's a chorus we used to sing, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever he leads me. I'll pasture wherever he feeds me. I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. They said, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you've set up. He said, okay, now we're going to heat the furnace 7 times its usual heat. He commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. So he bound them up, he threw them in the furnace, and then he began to watch them burn. But all of a sudden he said, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He put 3 men bound and he saw 4 men loose. And one was the Son of God. I tell you, we can make it through, folks. We can make it through every battle that comes our way with the one who will be with us. Who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. From now until eternity and throughout eternity, he said, I will stay with you. And Jesus was there. And all of a sudden, he brought them out. And the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed. Their garments did not smell like smoke. They were not affected. And he began to say, there is no other God who can deliver like this. Daniel did not turn back. He could find no charge. He was faithful. He could not turn back. When you think about Daniel, then you think about Daniel in the lion's den. And this was all part of the same period of time. The testing was there, and he won every time. He made 100 plus every time on his test. And verse 10, Daniel knew the writing was signed. He went home. It said, anyone that prays to any other god besides this will be cast into the lion's den. What did he do? He went home. And he went to the upper room, a prayer room, a place of prayer. He raised the window towards Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to his God before God. And this was his custom since the early days. If we're going to stand, we're going to have a devotional life. If we're going to stand, we're going to have a prayer life. It says this was his custom from the earliest of days. He had put it into his priorities of life. I said the other day, we are a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. And we've got to take care of all 3 of those regularly. The body, the soul, and the spirit. And God wants to give health to all 3 of those beings called us. Called man, called woman, called you, that he wants to do that. But listen, he says that was his custom from the early days. So he started out as that young man before he was faced with these tests. He was preparing. Folks, I want to tell you, that's what we've got to do as a church, as a body, as believers. We've got to be in a preparation stage. We've got to minister to one another. Yes, we need to go out and reach the lost. But we need to take care of our own. We need to get healthy spiritually in a congregation. When we do that, then we will be able to do the evangelism that is needed. These men assembled and found Daniel praying, verse 11, making supplication before his God. So they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? You see, they could not get Daniel on anything else than that he was a man of God. They said, if we're going to catch him doing something, it's going to have to be through his devotion to the Lord. And so they said, we can get him on this. The answer said, that's true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter, it cannot be changed. They said, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you've signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And so the king had already signed it. He had to go ahead with it. He didn't want to, but he had to, because he had got that own signet ring and signets of his lords, and it could not be changed. Now, verse 18 says, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. You see, they went ahead and threw Daniel down there. No musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. The king had made that decision. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the lion's den. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. He spoke, Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Has your God that you serve continually, his witness was there, been able to deliver you from the lions? All of a sudden, he hears this voice, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. You see, he went in there and he let one of those lions be his pillow. He laid down and went to sleep because he had faith in the Lord. I've made this statement before. Be wise. Be wise. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, but they didn't go down pulling their tails. Take that and put it where you need to. So he brings him up out of the lion's den. No injury was ever found on him because he believed in his God. The king gave the command and brought those that had accused Daniel, cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. The lions overpowered them, broke them all to pieces, their bones in pieces, for if they could ever hit the bottom of the den. You see, then the king Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Oh, if we could hear that again. But we know that people need to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel and the God of us. He is the living God. So Daniel was rescued from the power of the lions, and he prospered in the reign of Darius. You see, those three men and Daniel had said no turning back regardless of the consequences. Folks, we need to prepare for a persecution that's going to come upon true believers. We need to prepare for that. I have said that and felt that for years, that that's what God is doing, is he has to perfect his church through a fiery furnace, through the fire that will come up on us, that will purify and prepare us, that we can stand forth as believers and with light to a dark world, that we'd be able to. You see, this is what Jesus came for. He came to prepare a place for us, to prepare us for that place. Acts 1, 4 through 8, a very familiar scripture. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He's saying that Jesus doesn't really know, but the Father does, and that there will come a time. And we don't understand God's mercy sometimes and God's wrath and judgment sometimes. Sometimes we think, Ananias and Sapphira, that was too quick, God. Other times, how long are you going to hold on and keep letting this sin go by without slapping down judgment? But the Father knows. He says, but you, and that's us, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, in Spanish, it's testigos, which means witnessing, testifying, witnessing. But in Greek and in Romanian, the word is martyr. You want me to read it like that? But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be martyrs to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, those disciples that heard that, every one of them were martyred except for the Apostle John. And he was boiled in oil but did not die. It was said that as the persecution continued, that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. And they would have the Colosseums where they'd bring the Christians. And they would bring them out so that watch the lions devour them like they did in Daniel's lion's den. They'd watch them devour them. But they found it wasn't working. Let me tell you why it wasn't working. Because there was more people, because of their witness, they were turning to the Lord. They had to stop killing them in front of the crowd because the crowd was saying, I want that. Did you know, I met Muslim missionaries at the district council, and they said there is a hunger among Muslims like there's never been before. And said, we are tired of just saying we're going to, you know, do humanitarian things and try to win them over. Said, what if they go to hell that night? Said, we're telling them about Jesus, and they're responding. You see, it's a time that people will see the difference and they'll say, that's what I want. Put that joy on your face. Let the world know that there's hope and that the hope within you is that which they want and they need. And that will attract people to our Lord. In the midst of difficult times, there will be evangelism, conversions. Matthew 13, verse 18 through 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. You got to get good seed, good growth. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. We've got to be a discipling church. We've got to be a growing believer. We've got to have roots that will last. It said endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And so that is not going to prepare us for tribulation, for persecution. If our roots are not dealt with. No root in himself. He endures only for a while. Are you going to turn back when hard times come? Now he receives seed among thorns. He hears the word, but the cares of this world. What is your gold image you're worshiping? The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. You're giving your life for the dollar, it may not be worth anything anyway. What are you going to do then? They choke out the word, and he or she becomes unfruitful. But listen to this. But he who receives seed on good ground. You want to say, God, I want to be good ground today. I want to be a place where that your seed will be planted and grow and develop. And it says, here's the word, understands it, indeed bears fruit and produces hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Persecution began to take place immediately. And here was Stephen giving his testimony. And all of a sudden, here was Saul of Tarsus consenting to his death, holding the coats. He was an accomplice to the crime. It says a great persecution arose against the church. A great persecution arose against the church. Get ready. It's happening. Which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. What stopped his courage to do that? It was the appearance of Jesus, whom he was persecuting. Who are you? Lord, I am Jesus, who you're persecuting. 2 Timothy, young disciple of Saul that became Paul, 3 verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch. What persecutions I endured. Paul is speaking there of his persecutions now. He was a persecutor, and now he's persecuted. He's a persecutee. And out of them, all of the Lord has delivered me. So the Lord delivers us. Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You want to cross the line? You want to follow the Lord? Here's the promise. There will be tribulations. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We call it the Hall of Faith, not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. In verse 30, it says, by faith, walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, son of David, Samuel, and the prophets, whom through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. This is kind of like those commercials, you know, about those drug things that's supposed to do so good. And then it tells you what might happen. They told me, now, we're going to take the cataracts off. One of the things that could happen, you could go blind. Did I have courage? Well, I had faith for sure that others had not happened. But it's now I'm telling you the bad part. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided them something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. They did not accept the deliverance because they did not back down. They had crossed the line. They had said there is no return. They had jumped out of the plane. They had hooked up. They had said, we're going to win this war. We're going to go forward. Every Wednesday night here, we have been in intercession. We had Hannah Signs Overton on the screen for so many times. I want to tell you, she's coming. She's coming. We've got her scheduled to come. Another one is American pastor Saeed Abedini that we're continually praying for. It says here he's been viciously beaten by fellow prisoners June 11th, just a few weeks ago. Unprovoked attack in the Iranian prison where he's being held. The pastor was punched in the face, leaving his eyes beaten black and blue, but prison guards intervened and prevented further injury. It's heartbreaking for me and my family, they say, that Saeed was again beaten in prison. Saeed's life is continually threatened, not only because he is an American, but also because he is a convert from Islam to Christianity. Saeed wakes up every morning knowing that he could immediately be released if he would denounce Jesus and return to Islam. But he is not accepting his deliverance. He is saying, I will stand the test. This is an American pastor that went there with full permission to have an orphanage for the destitute children of Iran. And he was counter-attacked, and he's been in prison now all this time. You see, he has said, I will not turn back. I'll not turn back. The treasures of the house of the Lord were being carried out of God's temple. The enemy had taken people into captivity. I say the enemy has taken souls into captivity. There are so many people out there that once were at the altars repenting. There were so many people out there that what we'd say, they're backslidden. They've fallen away. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, they've gone their own way. They've been taken away from God's temple. He is after our children. He is after our youth. The enemy is taking souls into captivity. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Folks, I say this today. Are we prepared to face the enemy without compromise? How do we make it through the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How are we going to make it? In his presence. We have got to walk with the Lord. We have got to be able to say, I am who I am by the grace of God, and I will not fall back. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not by works, lest any man should boast. You know, they can train the army to go, and they're trained to be able mentally to know that I'll give my life. And they say, but they, you know, the purpose is that the enemy will give his life. But they are trained to do that. And that's a physical and emotional thing. But folks, we're believers and we're serving the greatest army, the King of Kings, the captain that's never lost a battle. And we have got to be able to say, I will go because I know that Jesus is with me in the fire. The line is drawn. Are you on the Lord's side? Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all that for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. Acts 20:22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But listen, none of these tribulations, none of these things move me, nor count I my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the grace of God. With Jesus with us in the battles, in the persecutions, we're okay. The line is drawn. Will you step over on the Lord's side? Would you stand with me, please? Perhaps there's people here this morning and you haven't even started to follow this race. You say, well, I came to church this morning. I don't know much about it. I want to tell you, you need to be saved from your sins. You need to know that you know that you know that if you were to die after leaving this place today, that you would be ready to meet the Lord. We had a coffee house downtown Tyler, and we would always go in and have prayer for an hour before we ever opened it up. But one night, some guys kind of slipped by the door, and they were already in there when we walked out of the prayer room. And as I walked out, one of the guys smirked at me and said something against the Lord, against you crazy Christian people. And I turned around and pointed my finger at his face. Never done it again, but I did it. I said, I don't know what it's going to take for you men to find the Lord, but one of you may have to die. And the word got out that Joe Foss said that one's going to die. That Friday night, there was a car wreck and one of them died. I hope he got right. I know some of those others got saved. But you may be here today and you're not ready to meet the Lord. This is time. It's time to turn to the Lord. Holy Spirit, work right now on people's lives. Work right now. If you don't know the Lord this morning, you need to come. There'll be people here at the front. All you have to do is say, I want to be saved. What must I do to be saved? And we'll tell you. I'm going to ask Kimberly to sing that song again. And I want you to think, am I willing? Am I going to make a stand in these difficult times? And this is a line all the way across the front, all those front pews. That's a line. And as she sings, I'm going to ask you to come forward and not just cross that line, but cry out to God and say, Lord, I am making up my mind. Prepare me, Lord, for all that is ahead. All that is ahead. Prepare me, Lord. Prepare me, Lord, for the future. Prepare me, Lord, that I'll be able to stand and I will not fall back. I will not dwindle. Give me that divine courage, Lord, that would be there. Come. Come on up. Come on up. All the way to the front. 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 Now lift your hearts to the Lord. Lift your hands to the Lord. Hands to the Lord. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Say it is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
We stand here together. As a family, we join hands together. Lifting praises to the Father.
Cry out to the Lord. Make a commitment. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord.
We've chosen together.
Yes, God.
As a family to serve.
I can't do it for you. Cry out to God.
Knowing nothing else.
Oh, Lord, send revival. Awaken this nation, Lord. Awaken us.
We've made up our mind.
Yes, we have, Lord Jesus.
Through the heat of the day, we will join in the fight till he takes us away, till our faith becomes sight. As for me and
Yes, we will, Lord.
We will thank the Lord.
Crying out to you, Lord. Yes, God. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes.
Choose you this day.
Choose you this day. Whom will you serve?
Who will you serve? Let nothing stand.
Yes, my Lord. Yes,
to
my Lord.
Give a
oh, yes,
my
Lord. Yes, Lord.
My heart.
Yes, oh God.
We will thank the Lord.
Yes, God. Yes, we pray, God. Yes, bring the backsliders back. Bring the lost children back. Bring the lost grandchildren back, Lord.
We will serve.
Oh, Jesus.
Him.
We cry out.
We will serve.
Jesus, my Lord.
Him.
Yes, God.
For he is worthy. Serve him.
Yes, Lord.
We will serve.
Oh, yes, God. Yes, my Lord. Bring your heart to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, it's yours.
We will serve.
It's not for me, Lord. It's all about you. Yes, oh God. Yes, my Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't forget the word this morning. Let it penetrate your hearts. Let it be that which would bring holiness into our lives, holiness of heart, holiness of life, that we have made that decision. We have surrendered ourselves to the Lord. We've said, Lord, I'm yours, and I'm going to serve you. And he will give you the grace to do it. The grace is the desire and the power to do his will. And we have that grace among us today. Just cooperate with the Lord. He moves, we follow. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Lord, we're hungry for you. We're hungry for you, oh God. Hallelujah. Raise your hand this way, folks, across the audience. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. O ye Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón y toda tu alma y con todas tus fuerzas. May the Lord bless you and keep you. See, we're talking about he will keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you so we can be a light to the world and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. So we ask you now to go and to take the word of God with you. Let it penetrate your heart. Go and find someone else in need. Find some wavering believer that needs to get prepared for the coming days. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Go and take hope to the world around you. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason for the hope that's within you. Shine the light in a corrupt world that we can shine forth as lights in the world around us. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Kimberly. For our first-time guests, go buy the coffee, Java Cafe. We have something for you.